I just feel better after I call his name a few times. There's a word for us in Acts chapter 27. Acts 27, verses 21 through 26. Acts 27, 21 through 26. It says, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. I've entitled today's little talk, A Prisoner's Pep Talk. A Prisoner's Pep Talk. Anybody here know that being saved does not keep you out of bad situations? About three people. I said, anybody here know that being saved, it does not keep you out of bad situations? Another way of saying that is, no matter how saved you are, keep on living, and you will find yourself in some bad situations. And the preacher comes to remind us that God wants us to behave as a Christian before, during, and after the bad situations that come into our lives. Now, Paul, the major character here in our text, was in a bad situation. His fellow Jews were chasing and persecuting him. He finds himself not only in a storm that he told the captain how to avoid, but the storm has become life-threatening. Verse 20 says, all hope was gone. That's a bad situation. But it was in the midst of the bad situation, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of everything seeming to be haywire, that the Lord sends the angel of God to talk not to the captain or to the guard, but to the prisoner by the name of Paul. And what a reversal of roles we see in the text. The prisoner is given the captain a pep talk. Did y'all see that in the text? I mean, the captain of the ship is normally the one who's always trying to keep everybody's morale up. and the gods were there to be the strong and silent type. But when they were soft and weakened with fear of losing their lives in the storm, it was the Lord through the prisoner Paul that peps up, encourages, and challenges everybody on ship to keep your trust and faith in God. I want to spend a couple of weeks in this neighborhood, but today I want to start working on this thesis. We should be mindful of bad situations, listening to God, and obeying God. Won't get to obeying God today, but being mindful of bad situations and listening for God. So I got to say something about a bad situation. You ought not think of this text as figurative, poetic. This is a literal bad situation. Jews wanted to kill Paul. They didn't just want to hurt him. There was a fanatic group that was out to literally stop him from breathing. They were escorting him to Rome, where they hoped to find him guilty of some capital crime and to be killed there. And on their way to Rome, a life-threatening storm just pops up and threatens to take their life away. Can y'all see it's a bad situation? And you know, if we pass the mic around, everybody could add their part to this piece of the sermon. Because I suspect there might be about three or four people here who have some experience with bad situations. Perhaps you could talk about a financial bad situation where your revenue is light, but your expenses are heavy. Perhaps you could talk about how it was after you had refinanced the house and went out and secured financing for the car that you discovered that the job was falling in on you. That's a bad situation. Others have bad health situations. Your money is all right, but you don't have any health to enjoy your money. I see especially some of my senior members who've worked hard all of their life to have a little gold at the end of the journey. And now that it's evening time and they finally have a couple of dollars, they don't have the health to enjoy the couple of dollars they have accumulated. Their example has taught me to enjoy the journey. Don't wait until the end to enjoy life. Enjoy life as you go. How many of y'all know we don't know how this journey is going to end? And then there are relational bad situations. It may be our children. It may be our spouse. It may be our lack of spouse. It may be those we thought were friends. It may be those we have to work with. Don't look, but it might be the person sitting next to you. I told you not to look. Bad situations. And then, you know, sometimes it gets real fuzzy. Sometimes it is a mentally bad situation. All your bills are paid. You have a couple of dollars in your pocket. You have your fair share of aches and pains, but nothing out of the ordinary. Family is gonna be family, but you know, it's really no big deal. It's just the pep is just not what it used to be in your step. You don't have the joy you used to have, the zest for living that you used to have. To say you are depressed might be pushing it too far, but to say you are happy is too far in the other direction. You come, you shout, you put on a smiling face, you sing the song, you say all of the right stuff. But just as soon as the spotlight of public opinion and church folk are gone, that gray cloud comes back over your head. It's not a dark cloud, it's not storming, it's just gray, partly cloudy. Do you know this situation? Matthew chapter 5, verse 45 teaches us that into all of our lives, some rain must fall. I want to talk to you about the sources of bad situations. How did things get like this? Well, sometimes, and you don't want to hear this part of the sermon, but sometimes bad situations are the consequences of our bad decisions. I told you didn't want to hear this part of the sermon. You cannot underperform and underapply yourself and expect to make big money. You cannot take little money and try to look like a big wheel and think you're gonna build wealth at the same time. Let me help you. If you got little money, you gotta live low, because that's all you can afford. You can't drive what you see everybody else drive if you don't have money to drive. You can't go out and eat every day and your money is funny. You can't get your hair done every week, so all your friends get their hair done every week. Well, if they're not paying for your hair and you don't have no money to pay for your hair, that means you can't get your hair done every week like everybody else. Now, you're grown, you can do and you gonna do what you want to do. But don't come up here crying, talking about you don't know why you so broke. You so broke because you missed this part of the sermon. You can't spend all you get your hands on and then think you gonna have a nest egg. Reverend, I don't understand why my lungs are so bad and my arthritis and my limbs are so bad, my knees and my ankles. I just have so many problems. All right, well, come on, let's talk about it. What do you eat, drink, and what's that strange stuff you keep putting up your nose and in your veins? When's the last time you exercise? Exercise. Some folk got to go look that word up in the dictionary. What? You cannot abuse the temple that God has allowed you to oversee and then expect the temple to perform for you. Sometimes the bad situations in our life are the consequences of our bad decisions. But in our text, and many times in our lives, the bad consequences, the bad situations, are not tied to bad decisions. It is tied to sometimes we are outnumbered and overruled. If you read the background of this text, Paul told them, we ought not go. Bad things are going to happen. We just need to winter in. We need to stay right here, because if we get out there on that water, bad things are going to happen. The captain listened to the majority of the people on the ship, went on anyhow, said, Paul don't know what he's talking about, and they done got out here in the middle of the water, and they're about to get killed. And when you look over your life, there's been times when you was absolutely right, but you were not in charge. Somebody ought to say amen. There have been times in life that if people would have did what you told them to do, then things would not be the way they are in your life. But you were overruled. You were outnumbered. Somebody can look at your marriage and see that if you could have got your spouse to go with you on an ideal, things would have been better. If children would have followed your advice, things would have been better. If church folk would have did what you said do, church would be better. If the people on your work team would have followed your recommendation, the project would be further along. Sometimes we are in a bad situation because even though we were absolutely right, we were outnumbered. We were overruled. And because we are in this thing together, we suffer together. You can't be a winner on a losing team. The team loses, everybody on the team has lost. When the family suffers, everybody in the family suffers. When the church suffers, everybody in the church suffers. We're all members of one body. Let me move along. The text challenges us to not only think about bad situations, but here is where I want to spend the remainder of my time. The text also challenges us to make sure we're listening for God. Now, this is what I love about this text. As bad as the situation was, God was still speaking to his person. Somebody ought to say, Lord, thank you. Verse 20 says that all hope that we should be saved was taken away. It looked like a hopeless situation. But it was in the midst of the hopeless looking situation that God sends an angel, not to the captain, not to the guard, but he sends a word to Paul. And I got good news for you. God is still speaking to his people today. You ought not think that the bad situation somehow has muted the voice of God. You ought not think that the thunder is so loud that God cannot override the sound of the thunder. The preacher came by to tell you that God is still speaking. No matter what you see, God is still alive and still has a word for you. In fact, sometimes it seems that God waits until things appear hopeless. Because as long as we got hope, as long as we think we got a plan, as long as we think we can do it, then we take credit instead of giving God credit. Sometimes God waits until it's a hopeless looking situation, so that when he brings you out, he don't have to compete with you to get his glory. Somebody ought to help me here. You know, some of us think we are where we are because we're so smart, because we're so talented, because we're so charismatic, because we're so something. We are challenging and competing with God for glory. The truth of the matter is, none of us made it by ourselves. We all made it by the grace and mercy of God. And sometimes God waits until the verse 20 of our life to speak. No matter how bad it looks, God is still sitting high looking low and got a word for you. That's why you can't put all your confidence in how things look. There's a way that seemeth right, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. You can't put all your hope in you. You can't lean on your own understanding. You got to trust him and acknowledge him and trust he's going to direct all of your paths. I told you God is still speaking, but let me hasten on and raise the preaching question. Are you still listening? Oh, we can't just shout about what God is doing. That's not preaching. There's no verb in what God is doing. The verb is, are you listening? Thank God, God is speaking. That's great. But what good is his speaking if we're not listening? Now here, I remind you that one of the most authoritative ways for God to speak to us today is through his word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Thank God for the Bible. But when I look at our Bible study attendance, and then when I look at our attentiveness during Bible-based preaching, it makes me raise the preaching question. Are we listening? You know, sometimes fear can clog our ears and prevent us from hearing like we ought to hear. But what I like about Paul is that he did not panic. He did not fall prey to fear. In spite of how bad things looked, he was able to hear God speak in the night. Does this describe you? You know, there are some people that get so afraid of their circumstances that fear overrides faith. Fear prevents them from hearing. And sometimes it's not fear of what the weather person has said. Sometimes it's a fear of failure. Sometimes it's a fear of criticism. Sometimes it is a fear that finances will not work out. Sometimes it is a fear that relationships will not be able to stand the test of time. But I remind you that God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's not given us a spirit of timidity, but he's given us power, love, and self-discipline or a sound mind. You know, there are others whose ears are not clogged by fear. Their ears are clogged by people. Can somebody say people? You know, Paul could have been distracted by the captain who ignored him, the crew who kept him under guard. But instead of being distracted by people, Paul made sure he heard what God had to say. Oh, what a lesson for us. Because there are people who are always claiming they are distracted. Sometimes it is the harsh pastor. Sometimes it is the incompetent officer. Sometimes it is the hypocritical and untrustworthy member. Sometimes it is the boss or the coworker on the job or the client that you have to deal with. But I remind you, Psalms 73, verse 2 and 3, talks about how my foot almost slipped because I was looking at people instead of focusing on God. Oh, come on, let's tell the truth. When you come to church, it's some distracting stuff around here. But what you and I have to do is learn how to look past the distraction and get what we came here for. We didn't come here to inspect one another. We came to hear, is there a word from the Lord for me? And I'm thankful that if you would listen, you would discover that God is still speaking. And then, there are some whose ears are clogged not by fear or people. Sometimes and it's hard to get us to be honest about this. Sometimes we can't hear because of our bitterness with God. I am sure it ran through Paul's mind. How is it that somebody as faithful as I have been and I am being, how is it that I'm out here about to lose my life in a storm and I'm not even the captain of the ship? Psalms 22, verse 1. That writer said what we heard our big brother Jesus say on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, we can't say this kind of stuff in church. But in our spirits and in our minds, there's somebody sitting here that said, listen, as many prayer meetings as I've been to, as many Bible studies as I've gone to, as many sermons as I've heard, as many years I've been in church, as much sacrificing I've done in service, as much as I have given up the right and suffered through the wrong, I just ought not be in such a bad situation. And if you are not careful, your bitterness, or at least disappointment, bitterness might push you too far, but disappointment with God can keep you from hearing what God is saying right here and right now. I'm trying to get you to clean your ears out. If it's not fear, if it's not people, if it's not bitterness, sometimes, and this may be the largest issue of our day, sometimes it's apathy, indifference, don't care. Sometimes things are too comfortable for us to hear God. There are some people who can't hear as long as all their bills are paid, as long as they have no pain in their body, as long as family is well, as long as they have some peace and some joy. They really don't have time to do all this listening to God. Does this describe you? Isn't it interesting how when trouble comes, we can make time for God? But when all is well, you know, God understands my heart. Apathy can put us in a situation that John calls lukewarmness in Revelations chapter 3. Listen, this is all I've been trying to say. It's a sad situation when God is speaking to you in the storm, and you are missing it because you're not listening. These few things, then, I tell you about Paul's example. Can I tell you the benefit of listening? Hearing what God has to say to you. Three things right here in the text. I can't take any credit for them. All three ideals are in the text, standing up saying, please say something about me. It was after the conversation with the angel that Paul reaffirms he belongs to God. And you know, that's what can happen when you listen to God. It can remind you who you belong to. If you don't listen to God, you can think you belong to the captain. You can think you belong to the crew. You can think you belong to the storm. But when you listen to God, you are reminded that no, these circumstances are temporary. But it's God who has his name on your ownership papers. You belong to God. You've been bought with a price. And God will take care of what belongs to him. Now, I wish I could give you more details about the when, where, and how, but I can put this in your spirit. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things are working together for good for those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Anybody here belong to God? Paul went on to say that not only do I belong to God, he says I serve God. Now, when Paul says I serve God, he identifies himself as a servant of God. You know, a sense of entitlement can distort your self-image. You can forget that you are a servant of God. And the reason I'm underlining this is because servants have very low expectation of accommodations. Servants don't expect a suite. Servants don't expect breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks to be brought to the room because they are servants. You know, when you move away from this metaphor of being a servant of God, you find yourself very distraught by bad situations. But when you understand I am a servant of God, then the bad situations are not as alarming because after all, I'm just a servant. My room is small, but what do I expect? I'm just a servant. The food is not what I want it to be, but that's all right. I'm just a servant. I got problems in my life, but that's all right because I'm just a servant. But when I'm my own man, when I'm self-determined, when I think I'm the stuff, and bad situations come into my life, even though I've named it, I've claimed it, I've tried to frame it, because my metaphor has shifted from servant, it shakes my cage, it shakes my faith. I become so despondent, I become so depressed, because I don't care what you name, what you claim, what you frame. If you keep on living into all of our life, some rain is going to fall. And I'm trying to help you get through it. I'm trying to help you get through it. I'm telling you, servants don't get as distracted and as distraught by bad situations as free people do. But a good thing about being a servant of God is God takes care of his own. A good thing about being a servant of God is that serving the Lord pays off. I don't mind being a servant of the Lord. As I was preparing this sermon, I was reminded that my dad would say from time to time that serving the Lord, sometimes the pay is not great, but the retirement is out of this world. Matthew 6:33 says, if we would seek first his kingdom, then all of the stuff that we need and so much of what we want shall be added unto us. Finally, today, family, not only did Paul reaffirm that he belonged to God, not only did he reaffirm that he served God, but he said, I believe God. I'm trusting God. My confidence is in God. Paul was not counting on the skill and expertise of the captain nor the crew, but he was counting on God. How many of you all know that King Jesus can be trusted to guide this old ship of Zion that we find ourselves on? Paul's confidence was not in the captain, but in the captain of the captain. And I say to somebody here who's in a bad situation, it may be financial, it may be health, it may be relational, who knows what the problem is in your life. I came by to tell you the sun will shine again. You can trust him that somehow, some way, the dark clouds of depression, the anxiety that plagues your life, the fear, the grief that has stolen your smile, there is a brighter day ahead. You can trust God even when you don't understand him, even when you can't trace him. You can trust him that even when he doesn't fit into your formula, that 2 + 2 = 4, math doesn't apply to God. God can take zero, add favor, and come up with infinite possibilities. Even when you don't understand him, you can still believe in God. I've run out of time, and I don't want to have a longer track record of being too long on the first Sunday. But if I had hope and time, I'd be hollering right here about Psalms 34, verse 18 and 19. Psalms 34, 18 and 19. This is what the Lord put in my spirit to close this little message up. It says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. It's such a small text, and I just read it one more time. I said, the Lord is close. Now that's important, because some of your friends will not be close when things get rough in your life. But that's all right, as long as the Lord is close. And he's closest perhaps when we are most brokenhearted. And he's not just close pitying us, comforting us. Look what he says. He's close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. You know, sometimes God waits until your spirit is crushed. In other words, he waits until things get hopeless. He waits until things get shown up bad. You know, sometimes things are not bad enough in your life for God to show up in a miraculous way, but you don't have to worry about it. When all of your hope is gone, you got some other hope. He shows up and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles. So if you only got a few troubles, you ought to thank God that things are not as bad as they can be. The text says that a righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Family, I got to close up right here. I got to stop right here. I'm telling you, the storms that are in your life are real. These are not figments of your imagination. This is not an optical illusion. This storm, this bad situation you're in, it will take you out if it were not for the Lord. And what I'm telling you is that no matter how bad things look in your life, there's still a God who's sitting up high. He's looking down low, and he's trying to tell you something. But the question is, are you so distracted by the storm, so distracted by people, so despondent? Is your spirit so crushed that you can't hear what the Lord is saying? If you could just hear him, he will remind you to whom you belong. If you can just hear him, he'll remind you who you're really serving. You think you're serving the company. You think you are serving that job. You think you are serving these people. But no, no. You're really serving the Lord. And God don't believe in slave labor. Serving the Lord will pay off. And you can believe him. You can trust him. When the stock market has let you down, when the company has let you down, when loved ones have died on you or abandoned you along the journey, you're not without help. There's still somebody sitting high and looking low, and his name is, I tried to think about it before I started preaching, his name is Jesus. And that's all the time we have for this morning. His name is Jesus. Anybody ever tried him? Anybody know he will show up in the storm? Anybody know the Lord don't get seasick, he'll get on the ship with you? I'm so glad I know him. Listen, we want to extend the invitation. If you're here today and things are not well between God and yourself, today's a marvelous day to come and say,